Greetings and welcome back to the broadcast. I'm Sean, your host. The website is scriptureandprophecy.com. It's Thursday, October 4th, 2018. And we're beginning a new series that I would like to continue through the rest of this 12 months, called the Weekly Gospel Portion. And I'll explain a little bit about what this is and what we're doing. Every year, you have the Torah portion that starts over. That's been going on in synagogues for forever. I mean, just for a really long time. And what the Torah portion is it's a portion of the Torah that's read out loud each week in synagogues, Jewish synagogues around the world. And it's the, you know, and it's the same schedule every year. So, for example, that schedule starts this week with Genesis. And each portion is named after the first sentence in the portion. So, as an example, this week's Torah portion is called Bereshit. That's the first word in the Bible. Bereshit, in the beginning. God created the heavens and the earth, right? And, you know, I've made attempts to try to do that before, but it's just, with the current format of the podcast, it's almost impossible. As an example, this week's Torah portion is Genesis chapter 1 through Genesis chapter 6. So it's like six chapters long, and there's just no way that I could put that together in a podcast. Other than to just summarize it or something like that. So I've decided not to do that. There is some people out there whose podcast where they do that. So I thought, well, what the world needs more than anything right now, what this country needs more than anything right now, with this dying world that's deceived and dying and broken and at its worst, what it needs more than anything is the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we're going to do the gospel portion instead of the Torah portion. Now, there's an actual schedule for this that goes along with the Torah portion, and you can find it in a couple of places, but I've tried to make it easy for you, and I've kind of pasted it on my website. So if you go to scriptureandprophecy.com, you might hear me typing here, scriptureandprophecy.com. At the top with the tabs, you'll see the Donate and Support, Devotional Podcast, Blog, About Us, Why We Use the King James Bible. And then you'll see one that says Torah Portion Schedule. So if you click on that, it gives a little bit of a description of what it is, pulled from TorahPortions.org, and you'll see the schedule. So for week ending October 6th, which is this week, the Torah portion for this week is Genesis chapter 1 through 6. So you could read that on your own. And I'd highly recommend that you do. Then you'll see the gospel, or I'm sorry, the prophets portion schedule, and then the gospel portion schedule. So, like, this week's portion is called Bereshit, for in the beginning, the name of the very first word. It's in the very first sentence of that portion. Talks about in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Well, the gospel portion is John chapter 1, verses 1 through 17. And the first chapter in John chapter 1 is, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So you see how it kind of fits together. And it takes you through the whole gospels over the period of the year. And I just think the world needs the good news of Jesus Christ. The world needs to hear that that Jesus came and he bled and he died and he was hung on a tree and he rose from the grave, and those who put their faith in this message, those who believe in this and put their trust and hopes and dreams into this, will not die but inherit eternal life. They will be able to be called the sons of God, the children of God. That's the good news. That's the thing that we need to hope in right now. And that's always been true. It's just when the world is so dark, the light shines the brightest. So in a world where it's just pitch black right now, the gospel of Jesus Christ is bright and hot, and people need it and they're craving it. And so we're going to do the weekly gospel portion every week. And it's going to be my goal to get that out every week. If there's any podcast that I get out for the week, I want it to be the gospel portion. And sometimes it's not even very long. Today's gospel portion is 17 verses. But I think hearing the good news of Jesus Christ, hearing the truth, hearing the words of Jesus, Yeshua, is something that we all need. And so I need it for myself, for my own heart, for my own soul and mind. And all of you need it. And the dying, lost world sure needs it, because there's not a lot of truth and gospel going forth anymore, even out of the church. People don't need a self-help motivational speech. People need to hear the gospel, the good news, the truth. And so that's what we're doing here. And I hope all that makes sense. If you want to learn more about the Torah portions and stuff like that, you can go to torahportions.org. Also, if you want to listen to, you know, sometimes I'll listen to Nehemiah Gordon's podcast. They do the Torah portion each week. And, the podcast obviously just started over. And so you can listen to this week. So I'd recommend that you read, if you can pull it off, try to read all three portions for yourself. Read the Torah portion and read the prophets portion, which this week happens to be Isaiah chapter 42. And read the gospel portion. You know, if you're reading those three portions, if you're staying on that schedule, you're going to be filled with the Word of God. And so that schedule's there. Again, you can go to scriptureandprophecy.com and you'll see it. You'll see the week ending date, the name of the date in Hebrew, like this one is Tishri 27. And then the readings, Genesis chapter 1 through 6, Isaiah chapter 42, John chapter 1, verse 1 through 17. The next week ending 13, is called Noach, deals with Noah, and you'll see the readings for that, and so forth and so on. So there you have it. That's the plan. So we've got a couple of series that we're starting this week. We've got this one, the weekly gospel portion. We're doing the new Psalms and Proverbs that I'm trying to get out every week. And then I'm thinking of starting our next, like, prophecy extra-biblical study. So we just finished 2 Esdras. We'll probably start the Book of Jubilees, which I think you'll find interesting, found in the Dead Sea Scrolls. So that's kind of the plan. I've still got to come up with artwork and all of that for Jubilees, so be patient. All right, that's enough of an intro. It's been almost 9 minutes, but I wanted to kind of describe that. Let's read the portion for today. And then I'm going to read you some commentary from Matthew Henry. So today, John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 17. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory and the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, This was he whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. That's the portion. And in this 17 verses is a lot. First, we're dealing with the fact that we have to somehow try to comprehend and understand the fact that Jesus has always been. In the beginning, it says that he was with God. That everything was made by him, and that nothing was made was not made by him. And then this Word became flesh and dwelt among us, tabernacled with us. And the good news in verse 12 there. But as many as received him, you see, it says he came to his own, but his own received him not. You know, his own were the Israelites, the Jewish people. And they rejected him and rejected his message, rejected him as Messiah. But the good news, verse 12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And it goes on to say, it's not about blood or anything like that. It's about God, being born of God. Verse 13, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And so those who have received him, who embrace Jesus, who have believed upon his name, to them, God has given power to become the sons of God, the children of God. It doesn't matter where you've been, who your family is, what your ancestors have done, what you have done. If you hear this message and you believe and you put your faith in Christ and you receive him, you will be given the power to become the sons of God. You will inherit eternal life. I want to read Matthew Henry's commentary on the very first verse here, which says, In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Here's what Matthew Henry's commentary had to say. The plainest reason why the Son of God is called the Word seems to be that as our own words explain our minds to others, so was the Son of God sent in order to reveal his Father's mind to the world. That's really a great way to say it. The Son of God came to explain the words and the mind of God to the world. What the evangelist says of Christ proves that he is God. He asserts his existence in the beginning, his coexistence with the Father. The Word was with God. All things were made by him, and not as an instrument. Without him was not anything made that was made. From the highest angel to the meanest worm. This shows how well qualified he was for the work of our redemption and salvation. The light of reason, as well as the life of sense, is derived from him and depends upon him. This eternal word, this true light shines, but the darkness comprehended it not. That's still true today, friends. The word shines. The word shines, but the darkness comprehends it not. And in every corner of the world, the word is being stuffed out, and Christians are being persecuted and imprisoned and silenced. But try as they might, they will not succeed. Matthew Henry says, "Let us pray without ceasing that our eyes may be open to behold this light, that we may walk in it, and thus be made wise unto salvation by faith in Jesus Christ." That is the gospel portion for this morning. I really pray that it's having an impact on you. You know, one mistake that even I make is not enough conversation about Jesus. And that's who it's all about. Yeshua, HaMashiach, our Savior. That's what this whole thing is about. It's all about Him. All that was written of Him. And He's coming back very, very soon to set up the kingdom and to rule and reign. And that remnant who trusted in Him, who truly believed in Him, who truly laid down their own flesh for Him, who died to themselves and picked up their cross daily and followed Him, will rule and reign with Him. I want to switch gears for just 2 minutes here to answer a question that somebody asked me. And I'm not going to say the person's name just in case they don't want to be identified, but basically, in a nutshell, this person had heard me speak about fasting, wants to do some fasting, but is not completely sure what it is all about. Is it not eating anything at all? Is it eating some things? You know, this person wants some tips and ideas. You know, how do you handle that? How do you decide, I'm going to fast, and here's what I'm going to do? And for me, I've done many different types of fasts. So let's first talk about why we would even fast. And sometimes it's because we are desperate for an answer from God. Maybe we have a severe crisis in our life. And, you know, when David's son was deathly ill at birth, you know, he fasted, wouldn't eat, wouldn't do anything, shaved his head. You know, sometimes you run into that situation. Sometimes you just feel so disconnected from God, and you just need to deny the flesh so that you can focus on God and draw near to Him. And that's typically why I will fast. You know, sometimes it's because I have a great need. And sometimes it's because I've sinned and I need to humble myself. And sometimes I just need to draw close to God. So what I'll do is I'll come up with a plan to deny the flesh. And often I'll pray and tell God what I'm thinking about doing. And sometimes I'll feel a different leading in how to handle the fast. So I've been known, the most common fast I've probably done is just the full day of not eating, but still drinking water and, you know, taking in necessary fluids. We have jobs that we have to still be able to do and things of that nature. The last fast, which is the one I mentioned, I just fasted from basically breakfast till dinner. So I didn't eat lunch, I didn't eat breakfast. I worked all day, did my 8-hour shift, hungry, and all day long, while, you know, your stomach's growling and you're hungry, and every time that happens, it reminds you, oh yeah, I'm fasting because I'm trying to draw near to God. And it reminds you to, you know, internally pray, and it just keeps you conscious of God all day long because that hunger's there. So you're, the idea is that you're denying the flesh so that you can fill yourself with God. And that's what's taking place. And so the last fast I did, I fasted all day, and then when evening came around, I ate dinner. Sometimes I do it like that. At one point, my very first experience with fasting was the Daniel fast, which was 21 days long. And you can go read, you can just Google the Daniel fast and you'll see what it is. And basically, when Daniel received or had that dream, he didn't understand what was going on. And so he fasted so he could get a word from God. He needed a word from God. And he didn't just say, I'm going to fast 21 days. He just said, I'm going to fast until I hear from God. And it just turned out to be 21 days. And his fasting was not to just not eat anything. His fasting was to not eat meat, to not drink any wine, and to not let anything pleasurable touch his lips. So basically, he was just eating what he had to eat to sustain life and do life and be able to do his job and the things that were required. But he wasn't eating anything with sugar in it. He wasn't eating any meat. He would, you know, water, like water and lettuce only, basically. I did that for my very first fast a couple of years ago. I needed an answer from God. And so I just did that. And while I didn't get my answer necessarily, that was a massive growing period for me spiritually. And then my answer did come a couple months later. So that is, you know, there is no formula. There is no magic formula to give you. You know, maybe just try, maybe just fast, you know. First of all, make sure there's a purpose behind it. Don't just fast to fast, you know. If you just fast so you can say, I'm fasting, that's, or because, you know what I mean? Then we're just being religious. It needs to be a reason. And that reason can be as simple as, I just need to draw closer to God. So you can say, you know what, today I'm just not going to eat until evening gets here. That way throughout the day, I've got enough calories from the day before, probably. And again, I'm not a doctor, so make sure you don't have any issues that requires you to keep your blood sugar at a certain rate or anything like that. That you'll have to work out with your doctor or whatever. I'm just giving you an example of one fast that you could do is, you know, I'm not going to eat during the day. And when those hungers come, it's going to remind me to internally pray. And this will happen often throughout the day, and it'll cause you to seek God, which I think is the whole point. It's all about denying the flesh so you can draw closer to God. So there you go. I hope that that answers your question. But like I said, there's no magic formula. You just kind of have to pray and also have a purpose for the fast. And sometimes the severity of the fast for me personally kind of depends on the severity of what I'm asking from God. You know, if I'm just trying to draw close, if I need an answer to a prayer, if I'm fasting for healing for someone or whatever it is, you know, find out, you know, decide what the purpose of the fast is, and then determine how you want to handle that after you've prayed and seeked God on it. But obviously, you know, I always drink water throughout the day, no matter what. And you still have to be responsible with your health. And understand this isn't about being religious and who can do the most extreme fast. This is about simply drawing close to God. All right. I'm out of time, my friends. I pray that this has blessed you, and I'd like to do this for the next 12 months, this weekly gospel portion. And maybe the question and answer section afterwards is something we can start doing. I don't know. This is kind of a new thing for me. Let me know what you think in the comments below. And please don't forget to support this work. It's completely 100% listener supported. If you don't support it, no one will. And so scriptureandprophecy.com is where you go to do that. All right. Peace and grace be with all of you. And until next time, God bless.